Wilson, and welcome to CBS Mornings On The Go. Ahead on this Friday, July 31st, a health conversation you'll want to hear. It's about testosterone, and I'm not talking about for men. We'll take a look at the risks and rewards of testosterone therapy for women. Plus, it's almost time for kids to go back to school, and that means buying lots of stuff. Kelly O'Grady is here with some tips to help you save some money. Also, we have some great stories for Talk of the Table this morning, including a look at U.S. News and World Report's list of the best states in the U.S. Find out how they made their picks and see if your state made the cut. And we'll share my exclusive conversation with boxing champ Canelo Alvarez, why he is determined to make it back to the very top of the sport. All that and more ahead.
Let's begin this hour with news that President Trump says he may pull his nominee for U.S. Attorney General, at least for now. Todd Blanche has faced opposition on a range of issues, including within the GOP. And now he may not have the votes. Caitlin Huey Burns is on Capitol Hill for us. Caitlin, good morning.
Good morning, Vlad. Well, this is something we rarely see up here on Capitol Hill. Republicans willing to stand in President Trump's way. Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche had been on track to being confirmed, but a controversial lawsuit that he helped settle between President Trump and the IRS is now coming back to haunt him.
It's a rare showdown between President Trump and two members of his own party over his nominee to lead the Justice Department, Todd Blanche.
This doesn't need to be this hard.
Republican Senators John Cornyn and Tom Tillis are blocking the nomination over parts of the settlement between President Trump and the IRS stemming from the leak of his tax returns. That includes the $1.8 billion anti-weaponization fund to compensate people the Trump administration deems were victims of the Biden Justice Department. At his confirmation hearing, Blanche said the Justice Department canceled the fund.
The weaponization fund is dead. It's not moving forward.
But Cornyn and Tillis want that in writing, along with the assurance that Trump and his family won't get immunity from future tax audits.
It's politically tone deaf and the policy is horrible.
But the president isn't giving it up, writing in a social media post, "I have no objection to temporarily withdrawing Todd's name if they do not do the right thing and putting him back after Cornyn and Tillis are out of office." Both Cornyn and Tillis are free from election pressures. Cornyn lost his primary in May to a Trump-backed challenger, and Tillis isn't running again.
What do you think that it signals, that the president is willing to whip Blanche rather than cede to what he wants to see?
I don't know if it's just a negotiating technique on his part, but it doesn't really solve any problems because there's no guarantee he's going to have enough Republican votes in January to confirm him.
Now, as far as the timeline here, the Senate is expected to go on recess after next week, and it's unclear if they could have a vote by then. Last night, Todd Blanche did meet face-to-face with Cornyn and Tillis, so we'll stay tuned if anything comes from that. And here's the thing. Blanche can continue to serve as an acting capacity, but it's not clear whether and how long that could go on for. There's still some legal dispute about that, Nate.
Caitlin, thank you. In a landmark criminal case, a Georgia school shooter's father is going to prison for his son's crimes. Colin Gray is the first parent in the U.S. to be convicted of murder for a mass shooting carried out by a child. He bought the gun that Colt Gray used to kill four people at his high school when he was 14 years old. Skylar Henry was in the courtroom for Thursday's sentencing.
Colin Gray appeared stoic as Judge Nicholas Prim decided his fate in a Georgia courtroom Thursday.
The warning lights were flashing bright and bright.
Gray's son, Colt, killed two teachers and two students at Appalachia High School in 2024. On Tuesday, the same judge sentenced the teen to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Colin Gray was convicted of murder and manslaughter in March. The state said it was his negligence that led to the shooting, in part because he gifted his son the AR-15-style rifle used to carry out the shooting.
Mr. Gray committed crimes, but his crimes were tethered to
In an emotional week of testimony, loved ones of the victims blame Gray for the shooting.
He was a single parent by choice. I am now a solo parent because of his actions and lack of parenting. He was a pathetic excuse for a father.
People keep calling this a tragedy. It was. But tragedies are unavoidable. This wasn't unavoidable. This was preventable.
Gray is the third parent in the nation to face criminal prosecution after a mass school shooting carried out by their child. CBS News legal contributor Caroline Polisi. Again,
this is sort of the Wild West when it comes to how are we going to hold these parents criminally accountable. This is just the beginning of a whole slew, really, of case law, I think, that is coming down the pike.
Colin Gray declined to speak in court on behalf of his counsel. His lawyers say that they are planning on appealing his conviction. The judge overseeing this case says that while this may be the end of the legal chapter in all of this, this is something that families and the overall community will be dealing with for some time. Natalie.
All right, Skylar Henry, thank you. The hot debate over transgender women and sports has moved now to the WNBA, and a team owner has been suspended for it. Indiana's Sophie Cunningham, one of the league's young stars, recently said transgender athletes have no place in women's sports. That led to a public clash that is raising questions over how to discuss this hot-button issue. Tom Hansen is here to tell us more about this. Tom, good morning.
Hey there, Natalie. Good morning to you guys. Good morning to you as well. Sophie Cunningham, who describes herself as politically in the middle, voiced her support to bar transgender women from women's sports in an article published last week. Those comments sparked cheers and boos from people in Seattle Tuesday before ultimately leading to a confrontation between the Storm's co-owner and Cunningham's fans.
Off to Cunningham, a deep three.
Indiana Fever guard Sophie Cunningham is known for her moves on the court.
Quickly up the floor, Cunningham.
But on the sidelines, it's her recent comments on transgender athletes causing controversy. In an article published earlier this month, Cunningham told ESPN, quote, "I want to protect young girls in the locker room or young girls in sport who shouldn't have to go against biological men." That statement brought critics and supporters to Indiana's matchup against Seattle Tuesday, including two teenage fans who wore T-shirts depicting the XX and XY chromosomes and carried signs thanking Cunningham courtside.
I wasn't trying to be political. I was just trying to support Sophie.
That's when they say a woman, later identified as Seattle Storm co-owner Celeste Keaton, approached them.
I thought she was going to be nice, and then she starts like screaming at us and cussing at us.
And then she told us that we were effing insane.
Keaton is now facing a fine and a 5-game suspension from the WNBA for that interaction. The Seattle Storm apologized for the exchange and said they remain committed to creating a welcoming and respectful environment for anyone who attends a Storm game.
The topic of trans athletes in sports has become part of this like larger picture of just how divisive it is in the political realm.
Reporter Madeline Kenny covers women's sports for the New York Post.
Sports really reflect society, and those conversations are happening, and then it's starting to infiltrate sports. And when you have athletes like Sophie Cunningham who are outspoken and take a certain stance and people really cling on to that, it just like created an environment where we saw what happened in Seattle.
Now, Cunningham responded to the incident in an X post Wednesday saying, quote, "Everyone is welcome at my table. You can disagree and still be kind. Bravo to those girls for standing up for what they believe." Guys, the debate continues.
The debate definitely does continue.
All right, Tom, thank you very much for that report. It's time for a look at the stories that caught our eye. My CBS News 24/7 co-host Kelly O'Grady is closing it out for us this week. What's up?
Hey, Vlad. Good to see you. All right, we're going to begin with an alarming revelation from AI giant Anthropic. So the company says its AI model Claude managed to hack into three organizations recently all on its own. Now, this was part of an internal cybersecurity test, but Claude accidentally escaped and accessed the internet. Anthropic says it's cautiously optimistic that breaches like this can be prevented in the future. Remember, it comes days after rival OpenAI says one of its AI agents went rogue, also trying to hack companies. Feels like it's becoming a little bit of a trend here.
When you use the word escape,
how do you accidentally escape?
I think Claude has gone rogue is what they're saying.
a little bit, but it does bring up this more of this conversation of regulation and are we able to regulate something that is moving so quickly that we don't even know how to control it.
If a lion escapes the zoo, you don't blame the entrapment. You blame the lion, right?
This AI might be a little bit smarter than a lion.
You're right about that.
To be fair.
But just as scary.
Yes. But to your point, the person built this AI, right? The company built this AI. Okay, let's try and, I don't know, move past the doom here. An embarrassing moment for U.S. officials at an AIDS conference in Brazil. So this is a map of Africa used by top health envoy Jeff Graham during a speech. The problem is it is completely inaccurate. Okay, so those shapes that you see there, they don't represent the borders of real countries. The locations are also way off. The State Department did admit its error in a statement saying an employee hastily made changes to the presentation before the event. The speech was also controversial for other reasons. The U.S. has cut way back on funding to fight AIDS since President Trump took office.
Okay, I promise you that was made by AI. Some kid probably put it into AI and got it. So it's not that smart yet.
Not the one that escaped. Yeah, it was a different one. It was a more low-grade one.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Next up, Amazon has been given the green light to pick up paying customers in robo-taxis without some of the usual standard equipment. Unlike competitors like Waymo and Tesla, the company Zook's taxis don't have steering wheels or brake pedals, just two rows of inward-facing seats. Now, these things can reach a top speed of 75 miles an hour. The company says the robo-rides will roll out in Las Vegas next month. And finally, some allegations of workplace abuse. Seriously, that sounds straight out of a movie. A former Xfinity store employee says his coworkers were pied in the face for low performance. This is not a joke. In a lawsuit, it claims the manager directed high-performing staff to tie lower-performing workers to chairs and smash them with cream pies.
What?
Comcast Xfinity's parent company said it disagrees with the characterization of the events. This really does feel like something Michael Scott did in The Office. Yeah,
exactly. But, wow.
Yeah, wow. As long as they keep getting paid, I guess. But geez.
No, pie in the face?
Pie in the face. Good.
You grew up on The Three Stooges without actually saying you grew up on The Three Stooges.
Right.
That's wild. No. Kelly, thank you.
Can't treat your employees like that.
Yeah, you're right about that. All right. We've done a lot of stories for you about peptides. You've heard of them, right? Controversial supplements that claim that they can make you healthier. Now, a CBS News investigation shows how one online business sold products that were very unhealthy for some of its clients. And the owner was recently sent to prison for it. Adam Yamaguchi has the story.
Matthew Kawa, owner of Paradigm Peptides, was sentenced to almost 6 years in federal prison after pleading guilty to two felony counts, including illegally selling unapproved drugs with the intent to defraud or mislead and illegally importing them.
Do you have anything to say to the people that you harmed?
No. Kawa did apologize in court. His business was one of hundreds of online vendors tapping into the national craze for these wellness peptides. Kawa admitted to selling unapproved drugs that contained undisclosed testosterone, a controlled substance. Dan Murphy, a Paradigm customer, delivered a statement in court.
I wasn't aware of the risks, and I was blinded by the dietary supplement label in a way that made me feel like this was very safe.
Murphy thought the Paradigm supplements would help him gain muscle and boost energy.
I started to get worse and I didn't make the connections to it.
He says he suffered severe psychiatric and physical effects.
I was having grandiose thoughts. I felt like I could do anything. That kind of descended into a deep paranoia. I wanted to die.
Then he received a letter from the federal government.
You may be a victim in this case. Please reach out to us.
It helped him make sense of what he was going through, and he was eventually diagnosed with testosterone-induced mania and psychosis.
I almost lost my marriage. I lost friends, family, colleagues, clients, and almost lost my life.
U.S. Attorney Adam Mildred hopes this case makes other companies like Paradigm think twice.
These individuals are taken out of circulation. And hopefully this sends a deterrent message that this sort of behavior is not acceptable, to be lying to the American public.
Kawa's sister, who was also an employee, was sentenced to 16 months for her role in the operation. Both are due to report to federal prison in 6 weeks. Natalie?
All right, Adam Yamaguchi, thank you. Coming up, more women are now using testosterone to manage menopause symptoms. We're going to tell you how it works and what you should ask your doctor, plus tips for back-to-school shopping to help you save on everything your kids need to start the school year off right. Okay, in this morning's Health Watch, something I've been wanting to talk about testosterone therapy. It is being used now to help women manage symptoms of perimenopause and menopause. Once a woman reaches menopause, her testosterone levels may have decreased to half of what they were in her 20s. Now, that can lead to low libido, fatigue, thinning hair, decreased muscle strength, and even anxiety and depression. Board-certified gynecologist Dr. Tara Shahrazian joins us now with what we need to know. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning.
I got to say, I personally asked for this segment because all of my girlfriends, we are all talking about this because I'm a woman of a certain age, a little perimenopausal, menopausal.
Yes.
And I'm hearing all about the benefits of women taking testosterone now, along with maybe their HRT. So let's talk first about what it is really responsible for, testosterone, when it comes to women. Because we think of it as, you guys talked about it in men.
Of course.
So we're talking about the women this time.
Yes.
How does it benefit us?
Well, testosterone does have some really great natural functions for women. It improves libido. It helps some with muscle maintenance and mass. Mm-hmm. It helps with mood. It helps with cognitive or brain health. So testosterone is one of the hormones that contributes to a lot of the well-being features that women obviously want.
So how much does testosterone, we talked about it decreasing a little bit in women as we go through perimenopause and menopause.
Yes.
So is it beneficial when it comes to, as you said, the things like libido? I mean, this is all areas. And I'm like, yes, sign me up.
So, exactly. So a few things. Testosterone slowly decreases in women starting at age 25 or so, mid-20s.
Okay.
So every year we lose a little bit of testosterone. There is no drop in testosterone at the menopause transition like there is with estradiol. So we don't all of a sudden go off a cliff in terms of testosterone. We still make testosterone even in the menopausal years. It just slowly decreases. Mm-hmm. So there's a slower decline. So we probably shouldn't feel it as abruptly as men do.
So how do I know if I'm a candidate for it? I'm sure a lot of women at home are asking this question.
Yes. So there is. So as far as the science goes, there's a lot of evidence that in women who have hypoactive sexual desire disorder or lack of libido as they age, there is data that testosterone supplementation can help. And there's good data. Like there's a number of studies. Now, as far as all the other things, just general well-being and things like that, we don't have a lot of data saying that women will automatically feel better if they take testosterone. So it's sort of a more complicated picture. But it is safe in low doses transdermally for women to take. For up to 2 years, we have good safety data. So if you want to try it, if you want to talk to your doctor, you can, with an informed decision-making conversation, try it at low doses.
So it'd be like a cream or something transdermally.
A cream, a patch. For up to 2 years, there's good safety data.
So what are the risks and side effects?
Yes. So transdermally, the risks are relatively low. So we don't see increase in lipids or increase in high blood pressure, some of the things that we see with oral testosterone, which is not good. Mm. There is some small side effect profile for things like deepening of the voice, acne, hair loss, you know, the testosterone driven, but it's low. It's low when you use it transdermally.
So, Doctor, I'm glad we're doing this segment because there's a lot of stuff out there on the internet, which is how a lot of people, a lot of women find out about it. People on the internet say, oh, it saved my marriage, gave them more energy, et cetera.
Yeah.
How do people separate fact from fiction when you're looking at TikTok?
That's such a good question because it's all over social media right now. Women are being told to be on all of these things, right? HRT, testosterone, peptides, you know, the list is endless. I would say that basically you want to have that conversation. That's really, really important. If you want to try it at low doses, it's probably okay, but you definitely should do it with a doctor with that conversation.
And it's not regulated, right?
It's not regulated.
So that's an important point.
And I think it's really important. Like I have a lot of issues with what women are sold on social media.
Right.
They don't regulate supplements. Everyone is buying supplements.
Right.
You know,
there's so many websites now that are doing this.
Exactly.
You can prescribe something, but people can also get stuff on the internet that we don't know what is in
it. Right. You don't know exactly what's in it. So really, buyer beware. Be careful about what you buy because there's no screening process.
Go to a trusted source.
Such a good topic. I'm so glad we did this.
Dr. Tarazian, always great to have you.
Thank you very much.
In this morning's Money Watch, back to school shopping is already underway for millions of families. This year, Americans are expected to shell out 8% more on school supplies compared to last year. The biggest increases include, get this, lunchboxes up 27%, notebooks up 23%, and index cards up 22%. Yeah, it's a real number here. So how can you save some cash? CBS Saturday Morning co-anchor Kelly O'Grady's here with some tips. Kelly, good to see you.
Good morning.
All right, so it's not what kids want to hear. I get it. They're going back to school. Mm-hmm. That's always tough. But where can parents find some good deals?
Okay, I personally loved back to school shopping. All right,
of course
I
was a nerd. What was your favorite part?
The binders.
That's why she went on to Harvard and Harvard Business School.
But I know it's expensive this year, so let's run through some of the sales. Target, their sale runs through tomorrow, and you could save up to 30% off select uniforms. You've got 25% off kids' shoes, and then 20% off select binders. Walmart, by the way, is also they have the lowest prices since 2019 for a handful of your favorite school supplies, like your pencils, your erasers, binders under $7. Okay, that's actually quite a good deal. Best Buy, $500 off select Windows, tablets, computers, and then Amazon, backpacks under $15, as well as some really good deals on groceries if you're thinking about packing your school lunch. Yeah. So there are some sales out there. You just have to act.
There's nothing like a good three-ring binder right back.
Right? Trapper Keeper.
I love the trapper.
And it's not just school supplies, though.
Yeah.
There are some other deals out there.
Yes, for the adults, okay? Summer wardrobe. If you want to update these companies, they're trying to get their summer inventory out, get the fall inventory, so you can snap up some good savings. But wait on the fall wardrobe until they're switching out for their winter wardrobe. You're going to get better discounts then. Also, outdoor gear, lawnmowers, as well as some things if you've got a kid going to college for the dorm, some coffee makers, microwaves, those are on sale right now. If, though, you're like me and you're like, football season's coming, I want a bigger TV, wait until Black Friday. That's the better one.
That's good advice.
Yeah.
What about where else can we shop smart as parents for our kids?
Yes. Okay, so first and foremost, I know I always say this, but audit what you have. Go through your kid's backpack. Mm-hmm. Go through that. I'm sure everyone has like a random, you know, desk that has all the pencils and the things that are rattling around. Uh-huh. Make sure you get that first. Also, there's a list that your school will give you. You don't have to buy everything at once, right?
That's a good
point. Can actually make your cash go a little bit further. And this was really important. I was always really guilty of it. We would get a big fall wardrobe, right? And then I would go to school and I would be like, wait, that one's really cute that girl's wearing.
Uh-huh.
So don't blow your budget on your wardrobe with your kid all at once.
Right.
Because if they are they're subsequent to go, oh, I want to go with the trends,
that's
you want to make sure you have something else.
Well, the going with the trends, it's interesting because I'm sure it's different now, but when I was a kid, we didn't have a lot of money. So I was always like tough skins, like things that are off brand. Like I had the Adidas with the four stripes. And then you show up.
The Adidas.
By the way, you can do resale, right? Poshmark, Thread Up. I use that for my wardrobe now. That's a good way to save.
Listen, I keep a lot of my kids' stuff, and then you recycle it for the next year.
Or so you give it to friends and family.
Exactly. So just move it along to the next family member.
Exactly. Yeah.
I grew up in a household with four boys, so we were trading clothes, trying to pass it down as much as we could.
But what would your brother say when your big brother is like, yo, here's my thing, and you're like, I don't want this, like,
I wore it, bro. Two sizes too big. My mom and dad were trying to make that money stretch.
That's
right. That was my part.
Same
Kelly,
here.
Thank you for helping families make their money stretch. We appreciate you. All right, stick around. We have so much more to go. Talk of the Table. And Vlad has something really good coming up, right?
Very special
Talk of the Table. We have more CBS Mornings when we come back. See you in just a bit.
Welcome back to CBS Mornings. It is time now for the stories that are the talk of the table. Natalie, you are up first.
I am up. We're going to start with a little music because my talk of the table is former President Obama once again sharing his summer playlist. Obama saying his top pick is a song both he and his wife Michelle love by musician Glenn Hansard. Of course, he died following a motorcycle accident earlier this week. A lot of people paying their respects. And he's picked Song of Good Hope from Glenn Hansard, topping that list. But it also includes a diverse group of musicians, everybody from Noah Kahan, Vince Staples, Ray, some classics from David Bowie, Modern Love by him, Johnny Cash, Let's get it on.
I know. I like that Obama guy. It's like Marvin Gaye.
He and Michelle are listening to that.
Okay, yes, they are.
A little Coldplay, a little Doechii and SZA, Tyla, Drake. So he's got a little bit of everybody on here. It's actually a really good playlist. Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to go on and redo some of my summer playlists based on
that. He always brings it every day. It's not just the music. It's got the books. He's got the things that he's watching.
Great variety.
Exactly.
Great variety. Yeah. Mumford & Sons. You name it. It's all here.
Yeah. Shout out to Barack Obama. Yes. All right. So my talk of the table is U.S. News and World Report. It's coming out with its 2026 list of the best states in the U.S. Now, some of the things that they take in consideration are health care, education, and public safety. And that's just a few reasons. So here they are. Drum roll, please. The top three states are Utah, South Dakota, and Minnesota.
Okay. All right. Cold states.
Right?
Cold.
Now, not for the weather.
Alaska, Louisiana, Mississippi, they are at the bottom of the list. Okay. Now, rankings, I feel like they only tell part of the story. Every state has its own claim to fame. Maybe it's the friendliest people, you know, the best food, the music scene, even sports teams. So whether you landed in the top 10 or the bottom 10, what is the one unofficial category where your state is number one in America? Because, Vlad, you oftentimes talk about New York.
Yes.
And people will take shots in New York about them being rude.
Rude.
But you say it's almost a quality that New Yorkers have.
New Yorkers,
it's an unofficial category why people love New York.
New Yorkers, when you think about it, and it's not just New York City. I think it's New Yorkers across the board are generally very tough and very hardy. But beyond that shell, like, we're cuddly and generous and warm. People will invite you into...
What you talking about?
Exactly. People walk around with, like, you know, that, like, RBF. But then generally, they, like, are very chill and warm.
Yeah. So let us know what you think about your
unofficial
state. The unofficial categories.
I'm thinking about that,
Different little things.
Different little things. Yeah. Okay.
All right. What do you got, Vlad? Talk on the table. It's a little bit... I said head fake. Got a little bit of a head fake here.
Okay.
My talk of the table is there was a little disagreement here at CBS Mornings ahead of the World Cup semifinals earlier this month. I thought it was destiny that La France would make it to the finals. Check this out. France plays the winner of the Spain-Belgian game
today.
So that game will be played on Tuesday, July 14th, Bastille Day.
I don't know. I'm going for Spain.
I know
I'm
you are. We'll see. I think it'll be a good match.
I think it's going to be a Spain Shielder because you're.
I'm like leaning into our shot.
England,
Well, obviously, I was wrong. Natalie, you were right. And we had a little wager.
We
said that if I lost the game, I would bring a bottle of French wine. And if
Bordeaux,
you won, Bordeaux. So I went.
And I would give you a Rioja.
You would give me a Rioja. Exactly. But I went better than Bordeaux.
What?
Because in France, when we celebrate, we celebrate with champagne.
that's the real deal.
A little
veuve clicquot. 50% Chardonnay. 30% 50% Pinot Noir, 30% Chardonnay
Grand,
and Meunier.
It's very French. Is
very
what
French.
We're
voilà.
And I'm saying Viva España.
Felicitations.
Viva España.
Well done.
That is not
it
cheap, Vlad.
I mean, you know, when I got to pay up, I got to
drink this before I get on the plane, though, so I'm going to need some help.
Just crack it open
guys.
Now.
I'll help you with that. Hey, that's quite the gift, Vlad.
I know.
Hey, can't hide money.
It's a Friday.
That boy's spending big on a bet on some soccer.
The tax write-off.
Hey, let me borrow a little something.
And still, the undisputed super middleweight champion of the world, Saúl Canelo Álvarez.
Saúl Canelo Álvarez has reached the pinnacle of boxing. He was the first undisputed super middleweight champion and won his first world title at just 20 years old. With more than 60 wins and world titles across four weight divisions, Alvarez is a national icon in his native Mexico. Now he is preparing for his 69th professional fight. I met with the now 36-year-old here in New York for an exclusive sit-down about what still drives him to fight.
For more than two decades,
this is fantastic.
Canelo Alvarez has built a career on proving himself. Fighting his way from a small town in Mexico to the top of the sport. Boxing wasn't just Canelo's path. It was a family affair, with all seven brothers boxing professionally. even setting a Guinness World Record for the most siblings to fight on the same professional card. Their father, Santos Alvarez, was at the center of it all, supporting his sons and helping shape their careers.
What did you learn from your dad that helped you along your career?
Hard worker, honest, disciplined. He always working for his family.
Were there hard times?
I don't know. For him,
he never showed you.
Yeah, he never showed me.
He just showed up and worked,
yeah,
and provided.
Yeah, and I was happy, yeah, living my life because I don't. If I need something, I work for it. Mm. If I need a pair of shoes, I go and sell ice cream in the buses.
What is it about Mexico that builds these strong men that are relentless warriors?
I think the culture.
The culture.
No, the families, the way they raise us, right?
They're raising men.
With a lot of love.
Yeah, with a lot of love.
But when you need to move your ass, you move your ass.
Yeah.
He turned pro at just 15, leaving school to pursue boxing. And by 18, he was ready to test himself in the United States.
How did you know it was time?
Because I feel it. At 17 years old, at that time, I already beat everybody in Mexico.
Yeah.
So I have, you know, to come here to USA and base what I hear about all the stories when they come and fight here and everything, that was my dream.
Over the course of his career, Canelo captured world titles in four weight classes and made history as the first undisputed super middleweight champion.
Down the stretch we come!
But last year, his loss to Terrence Bud Crawford ended his run as undisputed champion.
You don't lose often.
No. But I lose.
Yeah. What did you learn about not just yourself as a fighter, but as a man after that loss?
You know, you cannot change anything.
Yeah.
And you cannot control the results. No? Even if I did everything correct, the things sometimes don't go in your way.
If there was a big bag of money out there, mm-hmm, that would entice Bud to come out of retirement, let's just say 75 plus to each of you, mm-hmm, would you be up for that rematch?
They need a little bit more for me, but.
That's a fact. All right, let's start with 100 for you.
Yeah, we can start with that and negotiate, right? But yes, yes, why not? We always, as a fighter, we always want a revenge, right?
Now, after nearly a year away from the ring following elbow surgery, Canelo is ready for his comeback, facing WBC super middleweight champion Christian Mbili in his first fight since the Crawford loss.
You haven't been in the ring in a while. We get to see you in the ring. You're always must-see TV. Everybody's going to be watching.
Yeah.
What can fans expect?
Oh, you know, I always give my best in the ring, and this is not going to be deception. I'm going to be prepared for my return.
What left is there for you to accomplish? Is there for you to achieve? You've done it all.
I pretty much accomplished everything, pretty much.
So then why are you fighting?
Because I love boxing. And you know, if you look back, every time I fight, I break some records.
Yeah, of course.
And that's my motivation.
They say the hardest thing to do for any athlete, mm-hmm, not just boxers, is to walk away. I've seen it in football, see it in basketball, baseball, hockey, you name it. We've seen it with some of the greats,
you
unfortunately.
Feel it.
Yeah, I feel it, no doubt. Metal in my arm. How do you know when it's time to walk away? How will you know?
When I'm there in the gym and I take a lot of punches and then my body doesn't respond in the same way, then I know. Because you can see everything in the training camp.
Yeah, you can see everything. You feel everything.
You feel how your body respond or not, no? But I feel good. But it's not much left for me too.
Yeah.
For me, I have other things to accomplish outside of boxing.
Wow.
Wow. You know, shout out to Canelo and his team, and also shout out to the Pebble Bar where we were setting the scene and I was able to sit down with him. You know, he has accomplished so much and made so much money, but he still has this desire to be great. I always find that fascinating when guys have done it all and at a certain age, they still can't walk away. And he's going to prove that he's at the top of his game in his next fight.
It's like he's ready.
Yeah, no, he's definitely ready to go. And you can see Canelo Alvarez and Cristiano Mbili. They will meet in the ring on October 31st. That's right, Halloween.
Wow.
And I said, what are you going to do in that ring? He said, it's going to get spooky, which is fitting for the 31st of October.
Coming up this weekend, you've heard of a wine sommelier, but how about one for sake? Tomorrow on CBS Saturday Morning, we'll introduce you to Daniel Bennett, an acclaimed sake sommelier who travels to Japan to master his craft. Then, the money issue returns on CBS Sunday Morning with a look at the American dream. And actor and entrepreneur Scarlett Johansson talks about her skincare line. All that and more, that's coming up this weekend.
Oh, we got some good stuff coming up, right, Scarlett?
Yeah. She's been here to talk about that.
I know.
Skincare.
I love her skincare line.
It's very good, actually. I use it too.
It's really fantastic.
Good. I like some sake.
We do.
Yes,
sake.
We do like our sake.
You want to go out for a little sake?
Let's do it.
Afterwards?
Let's do it.
A little sake.
We got some champers. We got some champagne. We got a drink.
All right. Grab the glasses. We're on
Friday. Natalie, so much fun when you're here.
I love being here with you guys.
All right. We'll see you on Monday on CBS Morning.